You know, I've been here at St. Thomas More for just a little over a year so far. So I think it's important to be very clear about one thing, just to have this up front right at the beginning. And that is that we're all pretty messed up, right? At least I am. We all have divisions in our family, in our country, our world. I remember hearing this a long time ago, the only normal family is the one that you don't know well. You heard that before? That's why I think it's very comforting. It's beautiful in that first reading where God himself says, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock and bring them back. You could almost say bring them home. God's one people, Israel, they're supposed to be one family. And the first, they were divided into two kingdoms. And then the northern kingdom was conquered and exiled and scattered. And then later, the southern kingdom, the same thing happened to them as well. And they had many bad rulers and bad shepherds. And these shepherds, rulers, helped to divide rather than gather. And so God says, he himself will gather. He himself will unite. He takes on himself the work that's really beyond the capability of human beings. He gathers, he brings back. And yet, he also appoints shepherds who will shepherd them. He gathers, and then we're called to shepherd. But then he also says, behold, I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. Bishop McKnight has been appointed our shepherd in this diocese. But Christ alone is our king and our justice. In the second reading, St. Paul says that Christ alone breaks down the dividing wall of enmity. Christ alone can take two people who are opposed to each other, reconcile them to God, and thereby make peace between the two. Peace in our families comes when Christ gathers us and we are reconciled to God and brought together in Christ. Reconciliation to God is the way to true peace with one another. Christ and Christ alone is our peace. Is our peace. Last week in the homily, we talked about the three dialogues right at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. How those tell us first who we are, the baptized and the ordained, where we are, with hearts fixed on heaven, and thirdly, how we are, praying and living in thanksgiving. And we mentioned how the preface, which follows that threefold dialogue, then recounts different reasons for our thankfulness. And then we all respond to the preface with the holy, holy, holy. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The first part of this prayer is a quote from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 3. And there, Isaiah describes a vision that he had while he was in the temple in Jerusalem. He says, in the year King Uzziah died, a year of sadness, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne with a train of his garment filling the temple. The angelic seraphim were there, crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook and the house was filled with smoke. So first notice that Isaiah is in the temple for a service. And while he's there, he has a vision in which he sees the Lord. When we sing the holy, holy, we're at a service here in church. And we're about to see the Lord sacramentally here on this altar. The scriptural background from Isaiah is that of the army of heavenly angels in attendance on the Lord day and night, and singing his praise. As he worships God in the temple, Isaiah is joining the angels who are always worshiping and serving the Lord. And that's precisely how every preface ends that leads us into the Holy Holy. At the end of the preface, we say, we join our voices to all the host of angels as together we acclaim. We sing holy three times as a poetic way of saying that the Lord is the most holy. You know, people can be holy. Angels can be holy. But God is most holy. It's a similar thing with that refrain, Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna means praise. You know, we can praise people for good accomplishments. We can praise the highest praise, though, for the greatest accomplishments belongs to God. So we sing, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. And the hosts refers to the angels. Our God is a God who has hosts of angelic armies at his disposal. And when we worship God here in this church, we're joined by those angelic armies. We're not alone. In this very church, imagine during the Eucharistic prayer, it is filled with great and mighty angels. That's who we're singing with in the Eucharistic prayer. Reference to the angelic armies also calls to mind the Gospel of Matthew's description of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus rebukes Peter, telling him to put away his sword. Peter had pulled out his sword in order to fight against those coming to arrest Jesus. And Jesus says, stop it. He says, don't you know that I can call upon my Father and he will provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? So as Jesus is being arrested to be taken off and beaten and crucified, he tells Peter that if he wanted, Jesus could get thousands of angels to come and defend him. But he doesn't, because he wants rather to take up his cross on our behalf. That's the first half of the Holy Holy. We're joining our voices to the angelic armies. And we're remembering that Jesus preferred to suffer and so redeem us rather than be rescued by those angelic armies. The second half of this prayer comes from Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That psalm verse is quoted in the Gospels when Jesus enters Jerusalem in triumph, which is Palm Sunday, right? When his coming in the name of the Lord leads him triumphantly to the temple in Jerusalem. But then that initial triumphal entry into Jerusalem was really his preparation for the cross. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord means that Jesus comes in the name of the Lord precisely to suffer for us, to die for us, and rise for us. And that's precisely what we remember and memorialize in the Eucharistic prayer, that Jesus is coming ultimately was to the cross for our sakes and to resurrection for our sakes. So in this short little song that we sing in the Eucharistic prayer, we sing about a heck of a lot. We join the host of angels in calling the Lord God holy, 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 the most holy. God is about to come into our midst sacramentally on the altar, and so we acclaim him the most holy. We sing that praise, Hosanna, is due to Christ our God in the highest. And here's why God is most holy and why he deserves highest praise, because of two very important and very moving moments in Jesus' life. First, that moment of decision there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he could have called upon thousands of angels to rescue him, but instead chose to suffer and die for us. And second, because Jesus comes in the name of the Lord precisely to make present for us on the altar his suffering and dying for us. The Holy, Holy, Holy puts us at the end of Jesus' life when he comes to Jerusalem, to the Garden of Gethsemane, ready to die on the cross for us. Now, the next part of the Eucharistic prayer then picks up at the Last Supper and takes us to the cross. Today, when you sing the Holy, Holy, remember that visual of Isaiah's vision with that host of angelic armies singing to God right here in our church, in our midst. Remember that visual of Jesus' Palm Sunday procession into Jerusalem and how Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane embraced the decision to suffer and die for us. So here's the homework for the week. Invite that host of heavenly angels to shepherd you and your family toward reconciliation and toward ever greater peace.